if I should say thank you or not for that one, but obviously the world's a changing place, and it has implications for everyone. So I head up the infrastructure group at NAB Capital, and what I'd like to do is just talk about generally infrastructure financing and its implications in the current market. I think the general message is that there's still appetite out there for infrastructure funding in the private sector. Stating the obvious, people are looking for well-structured transactions with quality sponsors, and that's important and growing importance in a sort of unsettled environment. Government policy is a major determinant of which projects occur and how they're funded. Various models, funding models, can be used to fund infrastructure from the private sector. Examples are availability, government-based funding streams, take-or-pay contracts from good quality counterparties, or market-based transactions, like a toll road, for example, where private sector is taking patronage risk. So various models can be used, but it's really a function of the underlying risk profile, the nature of those assets, and importantly, the timing of the infrastructure. So that leads into a lot of the talks that have been happening now and probably will happen in the future. It's, is infrastructure being introduced into the market to be funded for? Is that infrastructure for a future requirement, or is there an immediate need for that infrastructure? So it ties into government policy as well. As everyone knows, there's a lot of noise in the market, financial markets at the moment, and it's called the credit crunch or subprime crisis. It's having an impact on pricing and the availability of capital. So I think I'd like to turn to that. I don't want to get into how it all started, because that's a long address which I'm probably not that qualified to talk about anyway. But I'd like to give you a snapshot and give you a feel of what's happening, and then the implications. I thought this was an interesting slide. This was a slide that was presented internally and to some of our clients back in April 2008, and it's the lines and squiggles are really the credit spreads, or the cost of debt for investment grade credits in the US and Australia. And what I found interesting was the title of that, and it's said, the good news, the worst may be behind us. And this is really what people were looking at, various events. But Bear Stearns failed on March 16, that the Federal Reserve came in and assisted in that situation. So credit spreads started going down, so people were hoping that was the turn. This slide was actually, it's almost the same, but, obviously 6 months later, and this was actually last week. And what you'll see is things did start getting better from Bear Stearns, but there's still noise out there, and has been noise up until last week for falling house prices in the US, and also Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae mortgage originators in the US having problems. This slide was actually done last week, as I said, before Lehman Brothers, before Merrill Lynch occurred over the weekend. And as you were all driving around listening to the news this morning, it was before AIG. So what it means, without getting into the detail, is there's that uncertainty and the contagion in the market, and people are unsure what the next steps are going to be and how far this is going to go. So that has an implication on funding in the markets. The direct for banks implication is that we're incurring additional costs in our funding base. Because of the uncertainty, the contagion, people are being more selective about where that money goes, and it's translating to higher costs. Typically, a bank funds sell 55% by deposits from their retail base, but the rest they have to go out and borrow in the wholesale and domestic markets. So what's happening is we went through a very historically been a very stable period of time where our funding costs were known. But because of this uncertainty in the market, the banks getting hit by themselves with higher funding costs, which has an implication to you as borrowers and also for projects as well. So what are the key points? Key points for infrastructure financing as a result of the uncertainty. Firstly is that capital markets and monoline insurers are no longer operating efficiently in the market. There's no capital markets, so bond issuances. And also monoline insurers used to wrap the bonds and insure the bonds, and that created volume that we could fund projects with, so that it was used as an instrument. The last example I can think of is the Royal Children's Hospital, which was the PPP done in Victoria back in December 07, was done by a $1 billion capital markets issuance, which was wrapped by a monoline insurer. That's no longer available to us. So people were looking more towards the bank debt providers to fund projects. Second thing, bank funding costs are increasing, as I mentioned. Also, capital is a scarce resource, so banks have been more selective on which projects to support, and they have to justify internally why they're selecting one project over another to utilise that scarce resource. Globalisation, I think this is probably the key point, just a note for everyone. We are operating in a global world. The financiers are operating in a global world. When we operate and look at projects in the US, in the UK and Singapore, so do other international banks. So when we look at a regional project, we do look at it compared to a project that we've got in the US, or a project that we've got in Melbourne, or a project that we've got in other parts of Australia. So it's very important. People have to realise that these things that are happening in the market have an implication regionally as well. Also, there is uncertainty in the banks generally in the market about how they're operating. So it's, while I know how I'm operating, a lot of other banks are uncertain exactly how they're operating at the moment. Sorry. So the funding challenge for the infrastructure market is what I call the triple whammy, and I haven't got the direct answer at the moment. We've got the capital markets that are shut, which is the bonds. The bank funding costs are up. And also there's a lot of deals out there. There's a lot of deals coming into the market, and the size is increasing. So we've heard about a few in the region here, but there is projects, for example, I've got some examples there. The Melbourne Desalination Plant is a infrastructure project, $3 billion in Melbourne. There's hospitals been announced by Queensland Government, New South Wales Government and South Australia Governments. They're all $1 billion plus projects that are happening hopefully in the next 18 months. There's a number of new roads being built, Northern Link up in Queensland. There's port facilities, power stations, et cetera, et cetera. So the challenge for the market is, with this uncertainty, the options decreasing and where we can fund from, those capital markets being shut, and the number of these projects is how we will fund them. I don't have the direct answer, but that's a challenge facing the market at the moment, and we'll see how it pans out.